ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। भागवतम 10th canto, beginning a new chapter, chapter 73, entitled Lord Krishna Blesses the Liberated Kings. Text 1-9. We'll read only first one. Sri Shuka Uvacha, Ayute Dve Shatanyashtau, अयुते द्वे शतान्यष्टौ निरुद्धायुधिनिर्जिताः ते निर्गता गिरिद्रोण्याम् मलिनामलवाससः श्रीशुक उवाच अयुते द्वे शतान्यष्टौ निरुद्धायुधिनिर्जिताः ते निर्गता गिरिद्रोण्याम् मलिनामलवाससः। श्रीशुक उवाच अयुते द्वे शतान्यष्टौ निरुद्धायुधिनिर्जिताः ते निर्गता गिरिद्रोण्याम् मलिनामलवाससः। उवाच शतान्यष्टौ निर्गता गिरिद्रोण्याम् मलिनामलवाससः। श्रीशुक उवाच निर्गतायुधि निर्जिताः गिरिद्रोण्याम् शतान्यष्टौ निरुद्धायुधि निर्जिता ते निर्गता गिरिद्रोण्याम् मलिनामलवाससः। माताजि श्रीशुक उवाच अयुते द्वे शतान्यष्टौ निरुद्धायुधि निर्जिता गिरिद्रोण्याम् मलिनामलवा। श्रीशुक उवाच सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड अयुते 10,000 द्वे टू शतानि हंड्रेड्स अष्टौ एट निरुद्धाः इम्प्रिजन युधि इन बैटल निर्जिताः defeated. They nirgataah, coming out, giridronyam, in the fortress of Giridroni, Jarasandha's capital, malinaah, dirty, mala, dirty, vasasaha, whose clothes. Kshudkshamaha shushkavadanaha samrodha parikarshitaha dadrishuste ghanashyamam pitakausheya vasasam. Vasasam is clothes. So first there vasasa is described, how dirty it was. And then now they are seeing Krishna. Dadrishe ghanashyamam pita kausheya vasasam. Kausheya means silk. Yellow silk cloth of Krishna they are watching.
Shrivatsankam chaturbahum padmagarbharu rekshanam charu prasanna vadanam spurat makarakundalam padmahastam gada shankha rathangair upalakshitam kiritahara kataka katisudra gadanchitam bhajadvaramani grivam nivitam vanamalaya pibanta iva chakshurbhyam lihanta iva jihvaya jigranta iva nasabhyam rambhanta iva bahubhihi pranemur hatapapmano murdhabhih padayor harehe.
Before I read the translation, I would like to say something so that you can be alert to what I am going to read now. So generally, for 1 month we are focusing ourselves in the whole month of December to distribute the books. From January to November we can focus on reading those books or inspire people to actually read. So one way, there are various ways of relishing the nectar contained in the scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam rasamalayam, it's actually full of juice, and there are various techniques of squeezing out that juice. They are the studying techniques. It's like lemon has juice in it. And there are various techniques of squeezing out. Somebody may cut it into two and just put it in their mouth and squeeze out the juice in between their teeth. Some may just squeeze it onto a cup and then pour some water and drink it. Some may have specialized squeezers. Put there and squeeze it. The whole idea is to extract the juice and to relish it. So the various ways of developing a taste for appreciating Srimad Bhagavatam. But until and unless with a strong desire to see through the eyes of Bhagavatam, and also with a desire to apply, strong desire to apply in our own lives, what to speak of sharing this knowledge with others, it can go dry. That's why one of the complaints is I'm not able to read, I'm not able to relish, I'm not able to somehow. I'm not able to. Just that sight of so much Bhagavatam is overwhelming. When will I ever finish it or like that? But actually, it really doesn't matter that you have to finish the whole Bhagavatam in this lifetime. When Prabhupada wrote first canto, he said, all that you need to go back to Godhead, I have given here. It's just within the first canto. knowing that he may not be able to translate. You don't know what's going to happen. But therefore, all that was needed to be said, he put it in the first canto, he said that. Or to speak of that, Bhagavatam itself says, every verse, or even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, even one verse, one half verse, one letter, if a person can realize, that person's life is perfect. So today, the technique that I am going to share with you is one way of trying to appreciate Bhagavatam with whatever little time we have. 5 minutes a day, 2 minutes a day, no problem. But then, first and foremost, to somehow inculcate that habit of just picking it up. Like our Baldev Prabhu made a very nice statement, deep realization after taking responsibility of book distribution. He says, if you want to distribute books, at least two things you must do. First of all, store books in your home, in a place that is visible. So you have to see the books every day. Hey, the book is here, the book is here, the book is here. And secondly, he said, show the books. Just show it. Whether they buy or not, that's a different thing. Show it, show it, show it. So possess it, have it, and just show it. Rest is in Krishna's hand. So similarly, I'm inspired after hearing that. This month, my marathon starts. I'm supposed to be visiting all the houses and inspiring them to read. So I was thinking, I took from that technique. One thing is, just pick it up every day. Just pick up the Bhagavatam every day. If you have no time, keep it near your pillow on your bed. Just before going to sleep, before you just doze off, pick it up, open it, Bhagavatam. No problem. Just get into the habit of, sometimes it's a ritualistic, yes. Rituals are very important. Rituals protect the spirit. Rituals are like the skin of a fruit. And the spirit is like the fruit itself. If you peel the apple and keep it, it'll rot. If you just pull out the skin of the banana and keep it, it'll rot. So therefore the skin is like the rituals. And the spirit is like the fruit. So the rituals protect the spirit. When Krishna sees that we have a desire, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, just the ritual of coming and sitting is an expression of that spirit that I actually want. But when the spirit is not kept in focus, then rituals become empty, burdensome, monotonous, and boring after some time. And therefore, taste is lost because you are just chewing the skin but not the fruit. So one way that in the Bhaktivriksha system of study of scriptures, they do what is called as a dua. Dua means dua means blessings. But here dua means D-U-A. It's a particular technique of study. Of course, this is dua. Bhagavatam is a dua of Krishna. It is actually the mercy and blessings of Vyasadeva, Shukadeva Goswami, all the previous Acharya, Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami, Shrinath Chakravarti Thakur. And made it very, very relevant and practical by the deep realizations of Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya. So, this D-U-A stands for discovery, understanding and application. So if you have just 2 minutes, 5 minutes before you go to bed, even though you are little, just to sanctify and purify your consciousness before you go to bed so that your sleep can be in the mode of goodness to some extent, whatever little possible. Or at least the dreams will be nice. Or any time, you have 5 minutes, 10 minutes, people stand and waiting for some bus or something, waiting for the train, whatever. At least have the book. Have the book with you. and keep carrying it. That's enough. That's showing Krishna that I have a desire. So, and one way of relishing is, discover the point that the author is trying to make in this book. Anytime, no verse has been written just for the heck of it. There's a purpose behind why you write the verse. At least appreciate the Sanskrit. So one is discover. Discover what is the main point that the author, or what are the main points that the author is trying to emphasize? Or what are the sub-points that are coming out from this? Discovering, that's all. Second is understanding. In the purport, maybe to elaborate that point. Sometimes Prabhupada, so in this verse, this word is very important. And then the whole purport is mostly elaborating one point and just touching upon the other. So, understand what in this purport, what are the points that are being given, and also appreciate the various other points from relevant or other scriptures. Sometimes a word may strike, wow, the same word is used in another place, in another angle, another perspective. So understanding means seeing the various perspectives to that point. Sometimes in one particular incident, one verse or one word, one point, one aspect is emphasized. But in another situation, that same word or same point is like a jewel. A jewel has many facets. So the more facets we see, the more appreciation for that word, for that point, for that concept becomes more way. Perspectives becomes broader and understanding becomes more deeper. Then taste comes. Wow, this acharya is used in this perspective. I never looked at this. It's like seeing the same diamond from one angle. But now you turn it around and say, wow, I never looked it like this way, that way. So that is understanding. That is where discussion helps. I like the other day, Kaustubh Prabhu's format of this class. He just spoke for about 20 minutes and asked anyone who would like to share. It's not just one person speaking, but everyone relishing. But just as a ritual, somebody has to be facilitating the whole thing. But it's nice. Otherwise it becomes, okay, this fellow is going to speak till 9:15, then I'm getting up. So, thinking, if I was given this verse, what would I speak? Or what point I would have emphasized? Ooh, I never saw this perspective. I remember earlier days of Devamrita Prabhu, Samrat Maharaj. He would come to Bhagavatam with a bag. And the bag, he would have one stand like this. And he had his Bhagavatam opened up. He had a notebook and he would be reading along with chanting everything. And writing down some points of his own probably and hearing this. So, it's not that the only person he's speaking, he's supposed to speak, so therefore his job is doing. But actually, everyone can actually be a relisher of it at the same process. So that is understanding. And the third most important part, which will make it really relishable, is the application part. Now what's in it for me? Ultimately this Bhagavatam is given for opening the eyes of people in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga there is going to be darkness. Krishna sudham apagate dharma jnanadivisah kalau nashtadrishamesh purana arkah adhunoditah. So it's like a sun that's going to shine and therefore help see things in a proper perspective. Actual perspective of reality. Therefore, what's in it for me? Personal application, institutional application, social application to the whole world at large, how is it relevant? Unless the relevance is seen, it can become little monotonous. So with that in mind, I will just read and then probably I will share my DUA, and then time permitting we will have others share it. That's why I am telling, that's why I spoke this before I read even the translation. So this is the new chapter beginning. Lord Krishna blesses the liberated kings. These people were bound by Jarasandha. Now Jarasandha has been killed by Bhima, through the medium of Bhima. Actually Balram would have killed him long back. Balram spared him one time. Krishna tells in the Mahabharata, Balram would have killed him, but he spared it for you. Because knowing that, just like Duryodhan's 100 brothers were not killed by, even though Arjuna had an opportunity to kill few, he said, no, Bhima has vowed to kill all the 100. So it was a reserved, just like Mahaprasad is reserved for somebody. Unka naam hai, dane dane pe likha hai, khane wale ka naam. Vyakti pe likha hai, marne wale ka naam. Bhima will be killing this person, so don't touch him. So, he killed him, and now, those kings, imagine, Giridroni in a inside the hill, some kind of a prison house, special prison house. Imagine, 20,800, that's what it says. Ayute dve shatani ashtau. Ayute is 10,000. Ayute dve. Nice way of telling 28,000. Ayute dve shatani ashtau. This is Sanskrit. You can make just the number into a nice shloka. Ayute de shatani ashtau. Niruddha yudhi nirjita. Captured yudhi nirjita. After defeating them, he had captured them. Te nirgata dhini druna malina malavasasa. Completely dirty, just coming out like that. Sukadeva Goswami said. So here, essence of this chapter is, they come out, they surrender to Krishna, they realize their foolishness. Amazingly, they don't blame Jarasandha. They are very thankful to Jarasandha. And they say, it is Krishna's mercy that we lost our position. And they take shelter. Krishna gives them instruction. And beautifully arranges for, you know, through Sahadev, the son of Jarasandha. Gives them all a chariot, gives them a nice bath. Male servants and female servants come and decorate them nicely, and you know, they're fresh, decorated fully as they had been captured. Put them into separate chariots, 20,800 chariots, and sent back to their respective kingdom. And the Mahabharata says, just remember, Yudhishthira Maharaj is performing. All of you can come there and send your contributions of acknowledgement. So this is the essence. So here it says, Sukadeva Goswami said, Jarasandha had defeated 20,800 kings in combat and thrown them into prison. As these kings emerged from the Giridroni forests, they appeared dirty and shabbily dressed. They were emaciated by hunger. Their faces were dried up, and they were greatly weakened by their long imprisonment. The kings then beheld the Lord before them. His complexion was dark blue, like the color of a cloud, and he wore a yellow silk garment. He was distinguished by the Srivatsa mark on his chest, his four mighty arms, the pinkish hue of his eyes, which resembled the whirl of a lotus, his lovely, cheerful face, his gleaming makara earrings, and the lotus club, conch shell, and disc in his hands. A helmet, jeweled necklace, a golden belt, and a golden bracelets and armlets decorated his form. And on his neck, he wore both the brilliant, precious Kaustubha gem and a garland of forest flowers. The king seemed to drink his beauty with their... This is an interesting part. The kings seemed to drink his beauty with their eyes, lick him with their tongues, relish his fragrance with their nostrils, and embrace him with their arms. Very beautifully it says, Pibanta iva chakshurbhyam, lihanta leha. You know, in Ayurveda you have leha. Lihanta iva jihvaya, jigranta iva nasabhyam, rambhanta iva bahubhihi. Rambhanta means embrace. Iva bahubhihi. Their past sins now eradicated just by seeing the Lord. The kings all bowed down to Lord Hari, placing their heads at his feet. Text 7, 8 and 9. Krishna Sandarshana Lada Dhvasta Samrodhanaklamaha Prashanshasur Hrishikesham Girbhihi Pranjalayo Nrupaha. The ecstasy of beholding Lord Krishna having dispelled the weariness of their imprisonment, the kings stood with joined palms and offered words of praise to that supreme master of the senses. Rajana Uchuhu Namaste Deva Devesha Prapannarti Haravyaya Prapannan Pahi Nah Krishna Nirvinnan Ghora Samsrute. The king said, Obeisances to you, O Lord of the ruling demigods, O destroyer of your surrendered devotee, surrendered devotee's distress. Since we have surrendered to you, O inexhaustible Krishna, please save us from this terrible material life which has made us so despondent. And finally, text 9. Nainam natha anusuyamo magadham madusudana anugraho yad bhavato rajyam raja chutirvibho. O Master Madhusudana, we do not blame this king of Magadha, since it is actually by your mercy that kings fall from their royal position, O Almighty Lord. This is what the kings are saying. After being brutally captured by Jarasandha, pushed inside a hole in the hill for a long time, about to almost die, emaciated, and after their release they are telling, O Master Madhusudana, we do not blame the king of Magadha, since it is actually by your mercy that kings fall from their royal position. Now what do they mean? Why are they saying this? Why are they not blaming Jarasandha? And why are they saying by your mercy kings fall from their royal position? Before we read the purport. Anyway, from what we have read, what are the... So they came out, they saw this beautiful form of the Lord. They were very dirty. They saw this beautiful form of the Lord. Drank through their eyes and licked through their tongue and smelled through their nose and embraced through their arms while standing in the same place. Otherwise 20,800 simultaneously embracing Krishna is difficult. And now they are saying this. So, can we pass the mic, Prabhu? Please tell, what is the discovery here? What did you discover in this 9 verses? What is the main point that Sukadeva Goswami or Vyasadeva is trying to emphasize here in this 9 verses? Few things that immediately came to my mind. First is, it's like a dark place and suddenly you come out. and realizing. So physically also they're relieved to come out into the light. But simultaneously, they have also come and they are able to suddenly see Krishna, the most beautiful form. And they are actually able to appreciate. So from darkness, they are coming to light. And they are fully relishing with every sense. Anganiyasya sakalendriya vrittimam. He is like that. The devotee is also, Krishna is a rasaraj, so you can taste him, you can smell him, you can drink him. He is absolute truth. They are actually doing it. Any other place in the scripture where this kind of a description is given? Yeah? Pardon? Little louder, please. Dhruva Maharaj, can you please just throw light? What was the description there?
Same description it is.
What exactly? What is the?
It says the verse says as if he is seeing at the Lord as if he is drinking his beauty through his eyes and licking him and embracing by his arms.
So, this is one point. It's several places come. Gopis also did that. So many other places in the Bhagavatam we see, they were like, through every, even Narada Muni in his beginning, he says, he was, with every senses he was relishing Krishna, the Lord, Supreme Lord. With every sense. With eyes he was drinking the nectar. With ears he was, hears it doesn't say. It says with the tongue, they were, what is that verse used? Pibanta iva chakshurbhyam. They were drinking the beauty of Rasaraj Krishna, that rasa through the eyes. Lihanta iva jihvaya. Licking. It's like an ice cream. Till you finish, you know, when you squeeze that stick also sometimes in the tea scoop. Like that, they are just kind of extracting the juice. Jigranta iva nasabhyam. And then smelling and smelling and literally something wonderful stuff when you do that. Rambhanta iva bahubhihi. The gopis also did that. The queens of Dwarka would do, as soon as Krishna would enter Dwarka, they would send their kids on behalf. And when they would feel embraced and simultaneously, they would take him in the core of their heart and embrace him there. So nobody can say they are handicapped in experiencing Krishna. If you are blind, still you can taste Krishna. Any of the senses you can taste Krishna. It's another thing that I was thinking. Krishna is absolute and therefore not, with none of the senses also you can experience Krishna. What to speak of through the senses. And then, anyway, I'll read the purport. Why these kings are saying that they don't blame, even though practically the cause of their suffering was Jarasandha. Obvious. But they are telling, we do not blame this king of Magadha, since it is actually by your mercy that kings fall from their royal position, O Almighty Lord. Which king are they mentioning? Jarasandha or themselves? Themselves. At least the purport points to that. If this has happened, this is also by your mercy. Today this fellow has fallen from his position, royal position, by your mercy. And we also fell down from. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, in the next four verses, they are telling why they consider, why they don't blame Jarasandha, and why they're coming to this miserable position, falling down from a royal position, they see it as a mercy. It is significant that upon seeing Lord Krishna and thus becoming purified of their sins, the kings did not feel any mundane hatred or bitterness toward Jarasandha, who had imprisoned them. Simply by seeing Lord Krishna, the kings came to the position of Krishna consciousness and spoke these verses, which show deep spiritual wisdom. So they came from the darkness to light, not only physically, but spiritually also. And the proof is, even though externally the cause of their suffering was these kings, they are seeing it as a mercy. Tatenu kampam sushamikshamano bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam hridvag vapurbhir vidadhan namaste jivetayo muktipadesa dayabhak. So they were liberated not only from Jarasandha's hold, but from the cycle of birth and death. So in that sense, Jarasandha was an instrument for their liberation. Rather than blaming, they're thanking him. And there in the later verses they say, because this big fat ego of being a royal, born in a royal thing, we were totally intoxicated. And because of that, we fought with each other and we did not protect whom we are supposed to protect. Instead of protecting them, we were all trying to lord it over each other. This is what they are feeling. And then they say, this is a mercy that we are actually coming out. So this is the application point. Truly speaking, every time we come in front of the Lord, if we were to relish Him through the eyes and smell Him through the nose, and because deities are non-different from Krishna, otherwise, how is Bhagavatam relevant? It is so kind of deep-rooted. This ignorance is so deep-rooted. Any other point anyone would like to share through the purport or through the Radhika Vallabh Prabhu? Please pass the mic. Radhika Vallabh Prabhu is my Bhagavatam hero. Wherever I am, when his class is there, I just tune in and hear amazing analysis. Yes, Prabhu.
Thanks.
Share something.
Especially in these prayers, we can see the consciousness of these kings. I was thinking that Jarasandha is in one sense the immediate cause of their suffering. Jarasandha captured them and then put them in the jail. But instead of, they acted upon the immediate cause, they tried to send a messenger to Krishna, requesting Krishna to free them from the prison. But they focused more on the remote cause. Remote cause means they were feeling that actually we are responsible, because we became proud of our positions, that Jarasandha is not to be blamed. We were only responsible for our condition. And ultimately, they, in their future prayers, they are asking, they will be asking Krishna that, please give us the method by which we can actually remember you constantly. So In that sense, the ultimate cause of the suffering is forgetfulness of Krishna. So they are asking for remembrance of Krishna. So I was thinking that we see in the Bhagavatam that there are so many devotees who went through different crises. Parishit Maharaj, Chitraketu Maharaj. So all of them actually focus on their remote cause and the ultimate cause, instead of focusing on the immediate cause and trying to blame the other person. And so by which, when you focus on the immediate cause, when we don't focus on the immediate cause, then so much of mental energy is conserved and which can actually offer to Krishna. So I was thinking from that point of view.
Yeah, amazing. Adhisthanam tadha karta karanam cha prathak vidham vividhas cha prathak cheshta daivam chaivatra panchamam. Krishna says the five causes, four are immediate, but the fifth one is daiva. This is so beautifully brought up in the Ramayana. When Ram is sent to the forest, Lakshman says, nonsense. Who is this lady to tell like this? What right she has against the constitution? He said, today I will finish anyone who comes in front of me, including Dasharath. This lusty king, just listening to his wife, he is doing it. And Lord Ram is telling, Daiva, Daiva, see it as Daiva, see it as Daiva. My dear Lakshman, see it as, my dear child, see it as Daiva. Ah, Daiva! Covered people talk about Daiva. Parakram! He said, you think my hands are simply a decorative piece? How can I see this happening to Ram and I will, if I keep quiet? This is like a Napunsaka, this is nonsense. So he glorifies endeavor. And Ram is emphasizing Daiva, Daiva. Actually, Ram himself tells to Lakshman in the forest, how foolish this king fell into lust and did this. So Ram actually knew it was not dharma. Actually, it was not dharma. Ram utilized it. Ram utilized it for his purpose. And therefore, again and again, he tells Bharat. Bhardwaj Muni also tells Bharat. Ram also tells Bharat. Don't blame Kaikeyi. Don't. Because Bharat is so angry. Said, you are the cause. You are the cause. Immediately Kaikeyi reformed. Kaikeyi was under influence of Manthara. Imprisoned by Jarasandha like Manthara's vision. But as soon as Bharat came, it's like a fully drunk person. You take one bucket of ice cold water, threw it on his face, sobers down. So Bharat's chastisement, he said, I will never give you the pleasure of seeing me on the throne. I will never sit on the throne. You foolish woman. He blasted her sudden. And therefore, when Bharat went, Kaikeyi was the front person. The first person was Kaikeyi. Next, Subhitra. Next, Kaushalya, then Bharat and all others were following. She knew, people will throw stones on me, people will spit on me, but I don't mind. She was ready to actually go. She immediately kind of resolved. The point is, two times, when Manthara came, and when Shurpanaka came, the word used is Yadrichaya. Yadricha means by chance. Valmiki uses the word yadrichaya. And the yadrichaya for an ignorant person is by chance. By chance usne pakad liya, by chance accident ho gaya, by chance ho gaya. For a slightly enlightened person, my karma. But when a person is fully enlightened and sees Krishna's hand, then he says, Yadricha means but Krishna's will, thy will be done. So somebody is seeing immediate, somebody is seeing little behind, you know, previous karma, previous lifetimes. Somebody is seeing the full ultimate remote cause, sarva karana karanam. And Krishna consciousness means to go till that root. Not a blade of grass can move without his sanction. It's ultimately Krishna's will, and whatever that misuse is coming, but ultimately the whole purpose of creation is only one thing: to help us reform and to go back. And only when a person actually sees the ultimate cause, at the same time does the needful, one has to endeavor. So one good point that, as Prabhuji said, they did their part. They could have just kept quiet and waited, Daiva, you know, Krishna will come. No. They arranged for a person, they sent a message, they did their best and then left the rest. And therefore when now Krishna came, he reciprocated because of their prayers. Now they are thanking him. But not externally, but also from within, they have actually done. So our part of endeavoring. And then simultaneously in the later verses, they take full responsibility. They take full responsibility. The tendency, general tendency, is to hold desperately the sense of ego and selfishness. Aham mameti janasya mohoyam, is to immediately look for, desperately looking for some excuse where I can put the blame. But that may justify immediately, but entangles us further. But the amazing thing about these kings, it is so pathetic. It is so embarrassing. And it is so painful. But still, they just say, no, Jarasandha is not responsible. Actually, your mercy is responsible. They see it as this mercy. Had this not happened, we would have continued to be just doing what we were doing. This has turned to be a benediction. Vipadaha santuta shashvat tatra tatra jagadguru. If it has resulted in this culmination that you have come and rescued us, what could be better than this? And one thing they are asking is, as rightly pointed out, the remembrance. We have 5 more minutes. Anyone would like to share any other part of the translation or purport or any words? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.